ship in, but which direction would the Lord
have us to go? And I said, rather than starting into a new book and then having a missionary next week and being gone the following week and then having to pick up again when I get back, we'll just do a certain lesson just on how to make a difference from Jude verses 20 through 25. So if you turn to Jude, we're going to pick up in verse 20 and read through 25. It says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful every single day being a gift from you, especially each Lord's Day where we can meet together in your house, gather around your word. And I pray, Father, this morning as always that you'd speak to each one of us personally. Looking forward to this as we look into your word and look into how to make a difference. How to make a difference. So we just pray that you'd guide and direct us through it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be making a spiritual application of the book of Jude on how to make a difference in the life of those around us. The life of those around us. This can apply both to saved people and lost people that we encounter every day. Basically, I want to look at two ways that we can make a difference. First of all, there must be a difference to make a difference. And secondly, we must have compassion to make a difference. In verse 22, it said, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." So to make a difference, we must be different. We can't be just like everybody else and make a difference in the world. So turn over to Exodus chapter 11, if you would. Look at verses 4 through 7. It says, "And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." In this passage from Exodus, we see that God put a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. As saved people, the children of God, there should be a difference. There should be a difference between us by the way we look, by the way we talk, our everyday walk in this world. There should be a difference. People should be able to say, there is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. There is a follower of Jesus. Whatever it may be, there is a Jesus freak for, you know. I like it when people say that. I know they use it as a derogatory thing, just like Christians was when they first used it, but I don't mind that. it tells me that people are seeing a difference in my life, and that's what I want. And my wife and I had a visit when we were here Friday getting some things done. He stopped by, and his name's Jim. He's been here a couple times now. He just drives by every day. And he says, when I drive by, I pray for your church. And so he stopped by and he prayed with me, I want to say over a year ago. And then he stopped by Friday and prayed with my wife and I. And it was nice. But he said one of the best compliments he ever got was when a guy said, or gal, she was 16 years old, she looked at him and she says, you belong to Jesus. I can see it in your face. I said, that's the way it should be. People should be able to look at us and see that we belong to Jesus. We should be able to make a difference in this world because who we belong to. And because of who we belong to, we're going to have a smile on our face. We're going to have joy in our heart. We're going to be different in this world. And we need to do that. In comparison to lost people, we should be different. Should be a major difference. If there is no difference between God's children and the lost world, how are they going to think that there's something that we have that they need? There needs to be a difference. And to make a difference, we have to have compassion. We have to have compassion. It's easy not to have compassion. It's easy to just, you know, I think of just Thursday night coming to church again, and that van that keeps doing it over and over and over to us pulled right out in front of us, and the lane beside me was open, so I just jumped in the other lane and went around him. But in my rearview mirror, I saw he turned at the very next corner, and he pulled out of one of the parking lots along Trent there, and just coming out, we were close enough that if I hadn't have slowed down and got in the other lane, I'd hit him. And he does this constantly. And my wife made the comment, it's that same guy. I said, yep. Constantly. Now, I could have got all mad and yelled and screamed and jumped up and down, but instead I just moved into the other lane and went around him. That's how we should react. My old reaction was, you bonehead. Who do you think you are? Right? And that's where we usually go because we're not showing compassion. We're not thinking like Jesus would think. We're thinking, hey, I'm more important than you are. What do you think you're doing that to me? And we know that's their thought, right? They're more important, so that's why they're doing it in the first place. But we need to be different, and we must have compassion. Why is compassion so hard? By definition, we see that compassion means suffering with another or painful sympathy. It can also mean sorrow excited by the distress or misfortune of another. That comes from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, by the way. From this definition, we see why it is so hard to have real compassion, because it requires suffering on our part. We don't want to suffer. We don't like suffering. So we don't like that. Most people, if they're honest, they'll say, no, I don't want to suffer. Especially when it comes to suffering over someone else's problems. We don't want to do that. We don't want to suffer for our own problems, let alone anybody else's. But there's some biblical examples of someone having compassion. Look at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 6. Exodus 2, verse 6, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Yeah. this is from the account of Pharaoh's daughter when Moses was put in the ark of bulrushes and put out into the water, and she comes along and she sees him, and she has compassion on him, takes him, and raises Moses as her own child. She had compassion on him, knowing, right, that they were all to be put to death. But she had compassion. And of course we know, because we know the Lord, right, that this was all part of God's plan, that Moses would be saved and all of this. So one of those things. Then we all know in Luke chapter 10, we know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? And we know the story that as he journeyed, he came and he saw this man who had been beaten and left for dead and all, and he had compassion on him. Well, there were some that didn't, right? There's some that said, we don't care about him, right? They see him and they cross over the other side. How many times do we see somebody in need and we just look the other way? That's not compassion. We see somebody that we could help. God's given us the ability, right? And yet we look the other way. But this man had compassion. And it says that he went to him and bound up his wounds and took him and gave him a place where he could stay to a man that would take care of him. He had compassion. He wanted to do that. In these instances, the person who showed compassion spent time, money, personal involvement, and many other things that a lot of times we don't want to do. We don't want to be out anything to help someone else. Therefore, a lot of times people don't have compassion because it's going to cost, and they don't want to do that. The question becomes then, how do I learn to have compassion? How do I learn to have compassion? If we look at this verse in Jude, this spiritual application from these verses that surround verse 22, again, our text, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion making a difference. Building up yourselves on the most holy faith. Our faith and the growing of our faith is directly connected to the Word of God. In Romans 10:17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need the Word of God, so that our faith can be strengthened, so that we can grow in our faith. The more time we spend in the Word of God, the more our faith will grow. The easier it'll be for us to have compassion on others and make a difference in their lives. And not only their lives, but also the world around us. We need to be willing to make a difference in this world. But it's going to start with spending time in the Word of God, being under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and taking those things. I've said for years, people can sit in a pew week after week after week after week after week, hear the preaching of the Word, and it goes in one ear and out the other. It's not what this is talking about. It's talking about spending time in the Word of God and letting the Word of God just totally permeate your body, your mind, your spirit, just totally take over, so that you can get to the point where you have so much faith that whatever it is that God would do, that's what you would do. We can make a difference in this world. As I mentioned, just not that many... We might have even been last week. We know how as you get older you start not remembering what week went where. But as I mentioned that we sometimes don't spend the time that we need to. We don't let God and the Holy Spirit work in us and disrupt our ideas of what needs to be done, right? My wife and I came, we had this idea, we'd be here for a short period of time, get a couple things done, and as I mentioned, Jim showed up. Fellow believer, just wanted to spend some time and pray with us. See if there was anything specific in our lives he could pray for. When I saw him before, my wife had been going through a lot, and he's been praying for her. I appreciate that. That totally disrupted our plan for what we were going to do from leaving here and getting things done before the end of the night. But we didn't get all upset about it. We just turned our attention from what we were doing, gave our attention to Jim, and spent that time with him. When he went to leave, we went back to getting things done and adjusted the rest of what we were trying to get done the rest of the night. I'm saying that to say this. I didn't used to be that way. It used to irritate me when people got messing up my plans and what I had, because I have things I got to get done, and thank God for working on me and bringing me to a point where interruptions in my life are because God put them there. And we need to be willing to work through that. We have to make a difference in this world. And then praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice it's not just praying, but praying in the Holy Ghost. So you might ask, how do I accomplish that? Well, we have to get ourselves and our wants and our desires out of the way. It can't be about me, 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 or I. We have to start looking at how we can have that, or know the mind of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to work through us. And this goes hand in hand with step one. The more we read the Word of God, the more we will know the mind of the Spirit. And then keep yourselves in the love of God. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's connected with tribulation and suffering. It's the definition of compassion. Therefore, by our own tribulation and suffering and trusting in the Holy Ghost, we can have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. I've found in my life that when somebody's going through things that I've already gone through, I tend to have compassion for them because I know what they're going through. I've been mentioning we've got several in the church that are dealing with family members with dementia / Alzheimer's or whatever title they want to give it these days. I have compassion for those people because I know what they're going through. And it's easy to have compassion for them. I've had several people, they've lost a spouse. I've not had that. Thank God for that. But I don't know how to deal with that. When my mom died, I told my dad, I said, I know what it's like to lose a mother, but I don't know what it's like to lose my spouse. I can't tell you I know what you're going through, because I don't. People will say that, it just comes off the tongue, right? I know what you're going through, and they've never experienced it. How do you know what they're going through if you've never experienced it? You don't. I can say what it's like to lose a sister-in-law. She passed away a few years back. but I've never lost a sibling. I don't know what that's like. I do know what it's like to lose a child. I can sympathize with people. I have compassion for them when they've gone through that. When we go through certain things in our life, it gives us compassion for those who are going through those same things. And we can help them through those times. If we get the love of God in our hearts, then it'd be easier to have compassion for others. Jesus had compassion. The Bible tells us on several occasions Jesus had compassion. So we want to look for the mercy of Jesus Christ. He was the greatest example of someone having compassion was the Lord Jesus Christ. He had such compassion, he was willing to leave heaven's glory and come here and lay down his life that we could all have eternal life. Compassion. We can learn a lot from the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been going to the cities and villages, teaching and preaching the gospel, healing every sickness and every disease. Look over at Matthew, and we're going to look at several verses over there, so keep your hand there. Matthew 9:36. Matthew 9:36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." He went healing every sickness and every disease. He went from cities and villages teaching and preaching the gospel. And then it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And it was because he saw that they were scattered. Sheep not having a shepherd, right? He had compassion on them. And then, after John was beheaded, look at Matthew 14:14. Matthew 14:14, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them and healed their sick." And then when there were multitudes coming to see Jesus and he stayed for days, he fed the 4,000 men plus women and children in Matthew 15:32. Matthew 15:32, "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." And Jesus sees these people and he says, I'm going to not send them away without anything to eat. I'm going to have compassion on them. Then the account of the two blind men in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. Two blind men sitting by the wayside. Matthew 20 and verse 34 says, "So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Then there is the account of the leper coming to him and asking to be made clean in Mark chapter 1 and verse 41. It says, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Then when Jesus came to a city called Nain, a dead man was carried out of the gate of the city, the only son of his mother, a widow. Look at Luke chapter 7. Verse 13. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Weep not. Just some of the many verses of Scripture dealing with Jesus and the compassion he had towards others. But over and over and over we see, no matter what they were going through, Jesus had compassion on them. As I said already, too many times we see somebody in need and we look the other way. It's easy to not get involved. It's easy to not make a difference. It's easy to think, well, what's in it for me, right? That's kind of the big attitude these days. What's in it for me? I heard just the other day somebody used that line when they had evidence. They were a witness to a crime, and they told him to come forward, and he said, what's in it for me? Why does there have to be something in it for you? Sometimes you just do what you do because it's the right thing to do, regardless of the cost, right? I remember years ago coming up on an accident on Highway 41, just barely within the boundaries of Blanchard, Idaho, and the curve on the north side of it, and I pulled over, got out of the car. Starting to get dark. I'm thinking people are going to come around this corner and they're going to climb right up on these people and they're in the middle of the road. So I'm thinking, put the flashers on the car on the one side, get out there with a flashlight and make sure people are seeing what's going on so they slow down and all, and made sure everybody was all right. That Good Samaritan deed I did cost me a whole day's work. I had to drive to Sandpoint, Idaho. I lived in the valley back then. Had to drive to Sandpoint, Idaho to testify in court and all. And afterwards, the people that were hit, the victims and the whole thing, said, why did you do this? Said, because it was the right thing to do. They said, all these other people just drove on by, but you stopped because it was the right thing to do. That should not matter what it costs us. The right thing to do is the right thing to do. And I had told him also, I said, I was in a car accident, and not one witness stayed. They all left. So it was my word against his. The only thing is, he rear-ended me. In Washington State, that's his fault. They still fought that. Tried to make it my fault because I didn't get out of the way in time. I said, I was at a stop sign with cars in front of me. What was I supposed to do, drive through them? I said, it's just the right thing to do. We need to have compassion on others. People are looking for some good in this world, and it's easy to find bad. Bad is everywhere. We need to make a difference, but we got to have compassion, and we're not going to have that compassion until we get into the Word of God. We let the Word of God get into us. We have that love of God that He sheds abroad in our hearts. And then we show that to others. If we look daily for his return, that would change our life to the point where it would be easy for others to see a difference in us and thereby make a difference in their lives. I think the problem is that we've heard so long that he could come any day, 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 and we gave up looking for his return. Now we just go day by day through the, what they call the motions, going through the motions, instead of trying to make a difference. Because we know any day he could return. That trumpet could sound at any moment of any day. We could be called out of here. And then our chance to make a difference in this world will be over. As Jim mentioned, he says, I got to do what I can while I'm still here, because when I get to heaven, there won't be anybody there to show the love of Jesus to, because they're all going to be showing it. We got to make a difference while we have time, while we have breath. Jim shared with me he's 85 years old. He pastored for over 30 years. He's been a missionary. He's traveled to most of the countries out there. And he said, I just want to keep making a difference as long as God gives me breath. What a blessing. I look at people like that and I think, 85 years old, when most people are looking forward to just laying around and doing nothing. He's looking forward to getting involved. Says he goes bowling with some of his friends, makes a difference at the bowling alley, talks to people about Jesus. He stops by when he sees places like this and he wants to pray for them. He stops and lets people know that he's doing that. He says, there's a lot of evil in the world, but we can make a difference. And I thought, interesting, because I'd already had this. I'd already been working on this. And here God brings this person in that's making a difference at 85 years of age and wants to continue to make a difference as long as he has breath. He doesn't want to give up. Most people want to retire and lay around and do nothing. He wants to keep going till he no longer can, making a difference. So, challenge today is, are you making a difference? Are you making a difference? All right, let's pray.